Today we continue with part two of our interview with Richard Heinberg on the subject of peak oil. Heinberg noted that we are about to experience a long-term decline in oil production, and the markets know it. As evidence, he pointed out that the long-term contract price has tripled in the past 2 years.
For all practical purposes, we're at peak right now, and the world really needs to deal with this because we're overwhelmingly dependent on oil for transportation, for agricultural production, for plastics and chemicals. Basically, we're not prepared for the end of cheap oil. So peak oil is a pretty big deal. It raises questions about whether future economic growth in the industrial world is even possible.
Your book, Power Down, addresses several scenarios for fallout from declining energy use. I wonder if you could talk about those for a moment.
Well, in that book, I suggest that there are two main paths that we could go down, and the two main ones are what I call in the book last one standing and power down. The last one standing option is sort of the default setting, I think, for modern industrial civilization. As oil and then natural gas and then eventually coal become more scarce and expensive, well, we'll just fight over them until they're gone. The power down option is one where we would deliberately and systematically limit our consumption of fossil fuels. The last one standing option is nonsensical. It's self-defeating because, of course, in fighting for these materials, we'll be burning up the very stuff that we're fighting for. And in the end, there will be no winners. Even the victor in this oil endgame is going to be faced with the fact of vanishing supplies. So unless we make a fundamental change in our collective behavior, that's where we're headed.
Since you wrote the book Power Down, it seems the discussion has shifted to something like, well, how fast will the decline be? And I've seen numbers like 3% per year, 8% per year.
Right.
How rapid a decline can the U.S. economy, and particularly U.S. agriculture, withstand without something akin to the Great Depression or worse?
Well, I think we have something like the Great Depression in store for us in any case. Still, there are better and worse ways of handling the situation. I think the best thing would be a global oil depletion protocol that the countries of the world could sign on to, where they would, in effect, be agreeing to reduce their oil dependence by about 3% a year. Now, in terms of decline rates, I think the most likely scenario is an overall decline rate of global oil production in the range of 2% per year once we've passed the peak, at least for the first 10 or 20 years, and then gradually the decline rate will increase. So you'd be staying just a little bit ahead of the natural decline rate post-peak, and that way it would be possible to keep global oil prices stable and also minimize competition for remaining supplies.
The U.S. administration hasn't even signed on to the Kyoto Protocol for fear losing their hegemony. I mean, what prospects do we have for implementing something as radical as the oil depletion protocol?
Well, I don't think the oil depletion protocol is actually that much more radical than the Kyoto Protocol. It's a lot simpler. So I think a very good case can be made for the depletion protocol. I think you're right that the U.S. government is not going to sign on immediately. It's going to require first a number of other countries to sign on, and then it's also going to require individuals, groups of citizens, cities, counties, and states within the U.S. to sign on, at least symbolically, in order to pressure leaders at the federal level to do the right thing.
Well, there are many grassroots groups in this country working on such things as economic localization and trying to figure out, you know, how to live if we don't have an orderly withdrawal. It seems like those would be places or people that would spread the word.
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. There are municipalities all across the U.S. that are beginning to take the problem of peak oil very seriously, that are doing energy vulnerability analyses. Denver, Colorado is a good example of this. The mayor of Denver, John Hickenlooper, is a former petroleum engineer who understands the problem of peak oil the way I think few city officials do in this country. And so he's doing what he can in that city. And there's lots of smaller towns like Willits in Northern California, Sebastopol. My students at New College and I have been doing some work with the town of Sebastopol in helping them to create a plan for reducing their vulnerability to future oil supply shocks. The list is actually pretty long. I think there are about 24 towns and cities right now that are working on this, and the number is just expanding exponentially.
Well, I certainly hope that we're close to a tipping point on the issue.
Yes, I don't think we're there yet, but certainly we're seeing an extraordinary increase in awareness on this subject. 3 or 4 years ago, when I first started going out and speaking publicly on the issue of peak oil, one had to start from square one every time, and that has changed dramatically. Today, the phrase peak oil is generally understood among people who read or are aware of the world and spend some time paying attention. I think that within the next couple of years, we will see that tipping point, that sea change, where this will be not something that can be avoided or ignored any longer.
Well, thank you very much, Richard Heinberg. We've been speaking with Richard Heinberg, the author of The Party's Over, Power Down, and now The Oil Depletion Protocol.